This is Base Commander, Colonel Jack Meoff of the Radio First Tremor Iraq Show. The Rabbit Zone that you're about to experience is brought to you in high definition. Only the best for my men. Dave Rabbit Audio. The sneaky little bastard.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Rabbit Zone with showcased artist Jeff and his band 100 Year Picnic. 100 Year Picnic makes fun and does what they call eclectic pop music, which is a squirrely concoction of Midwestern power pop, Brit pop, Americana, alternative country, and experimental folk. Basically, they do whatever cracks them up, and they tend to be nice, big melodies with smart words, fun orchestration, and lots of vocals. Their music is mostly influenced by the people in their lives. They're amazing and amusing. Children, wives, extended families, and music-crazy friends with serious record collections. They live in a place of wide open spaces, short commutes to work, close families, and four colorful seasons. As a way to entertain themselves, they end up writing and recording these eclectic songs about everyday life. Their web address is www.100yearpicnic.com. That's 100 YEARPICNIC.com. Well, I have to tell you before we begin this show that this was absolutely a tremendous joy for me to interview Jeff of 100 Year Picnic. We had so much fun doing this interview and doing this show. We laughed so hard that I thought I was going to upchuck a lung. So it's just an amazing show. You're going to have a lot of fun, a lot of great music by Jeff and his associates of 100 Year Picnic. So let's get the show started with the interview with Jeff of 100 Year Picnic. Okay, everybody, we're talking to Jeff, who is the founder, creator, if you will, of a band that I just really fell in love with when I introduced him on the Rabbit Hard Rock shows, 100 Year Picnic. Hi, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, Dave.
Good, good, good.
Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, listen, man, I really appreciate it, and I want to let all our fans know that you're really doing us a real favor tonight because your whole family's got the virus, and I'm not laughing to make fun, but I mean, you know, let's be honest, you know, you weren't going to do the show originally, and because you thought, you know, well, I just didn't think I could make it, and then all of a sudden you said, you know, I don't want to let my fans down, and you're really doing this for the fans. You're really doing this for the fans, right?
That's right.
I mean, because everybody loves your music. Everybody wants to hear you, and I mean, they're so anxious for your show to go up on the site so they can sit there and listen to not only you personally, but they, you know, be able to listen to some of what I think is some of the most creative music that I heard on the 37 episodes of the Hard Rock Zone. And you know, I'm not even going to touch the name because you know it's a song that keeps me up at night. And I'm not even going to touch base on it until we get to it. So anyway, all right, let's just talk about some general things, Jeff. You're from Bloomington, Illinois, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so, you know, football season's here, Super Bowl's a couple of weeks off. Okay, you're from Illinois. Now, are you a Chicago Bears fan?
Well, you know, I'm a little bit more of a Packer fan, but, you know, I'll root for the Bears.
Yeah, see, we talked off. See, Jeff and I talked off air, so he knows I'm hooking him on this deal. I wanted to see what kind of fan reaction we're going to get. Here's a guy from Illinois, you know, voting for the Packers. I don't know,
but we got a lot of Packer fans.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you do. You all up there in the snow? You're in the snow.
We're halfway between Chicago and St. Louis, so you know, we've got a lot of Cub Cardinal rivalries.
Well, you're up there in the snow country. You know, I mean, you when.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, when this is really funny because I live in Dallas, and of course, Dallas's example of a hard winter, you know, is it physically seeing flakes in the air. You know, that's a hard winter for Texans. You know, so.
But you know, I know there was one year I was in Dallas. I was actually when I was in the high school marching band, and we marched in the Cotton Bowl parade there in Dallas.
What year was that?
Oh boy, that was. It was probably 84, and that was the year where you guys got, like, one of the worst winters ever.
Oh, that's the one where we had 14 inches of snow. It was the biggest snowstorm ever in the history of Texas.
It was freezing. I mean, we thought we were going to be, you know, marching in the sun and sweating, and we were literally so cold we could hardly, you know. I was playing snare drum, and you know, our fingers were just freezing.
Okay, so while we're on the snare drum and the band thing, I guess the first thing I want to know is 100 Year Picnic is not a normal band name. I mean, you know, we got Led Zeppelin and Your Mama's Sister and How's Your Brother and all these other things. So how did you come up with 100 Year Picnic?
It was a bit of an accident. The name is actually inspired by a Ray Bradbury short story in the Martian Chronicles. It's like the last chapter of the book. And it's actually called The Million Year Picnic, but I thought it was The 100 Year Picnic.
Wow.
So now I remembered it. And then, you know, I went to, you know, online to see if I could get 100yearpicnic.com, and it was available. So I was like, okay,
The Martian Chronicles. You know, that was a great series or a great show that I watched. And I had forgot. You know, I would have never guessed that was something from science fiction. So are you a science fiction buff?
His science fiction is, you know, it is science fiction, but he takes people in everyday life, you know, he actually grew up in Waukegan, and take a setting like just a regular place in Illinois and put it on Mars. And,
yeah.
You know, and find out what happens, and it's really wild stuff.
Wow. Okay, so tell me, what, obviously you played in the band, so we already know that. So, but what was a specific incident that you can remember, the event when you said, okay, I want to be a musician, or at least want to have it as an aspiration? It may not be in my total income, but I want to do this.
Well, my mom tells me that I was singing Hey Jude into a pencil at age two. So.
Weren't we all?
I guess I don't really remember not, you know, wanting to do music. I got, you know, a little toy drum set very soon after that period of time. And, you know, I've just been, then I got started in the band, you know, in fifth grade when you pick an instrument, and I picked drums, and I've just been going ever since.
Well, obviously it paid off, because you're one hell of a musician in my book, and everything that you've done, I just think is just phenomenal. Okay, so let's start talking about some of the songs. Now, the intro song into your show tonight, of course, was Everything. So tell me about Everything. What, you know, what inspired the song, how you came up with the name, that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, songwriting, like I said, I started playing the drums, so it's not exactly all that easy to write songs on the drums, you know. And so when I went to college, I knew I wanted to write songs around that time. I had some friends in high school that were writing songs. I thought, this is just way cool, but I'm not going to do it on the drums. So I didn't need to learn how to play piano or guitar, and you know, I just picked the guitar because I thought it would be a little bit easier. And I think I was right on that. I mean, piano is great, and I've actually recently gone back to learn some piano. But, you know, you can pick up a guitar, and it's a real rewarding instrument. It actually took me a while to, you know, get to the point, though, where I had some decent songs. And that was one of the first songs that I thought, well, this is pretty cool. This is, there's something going on with this one, and that's Everything.
Okay, great. Okay, so that brings us into the really the first song that we're going to do, that you're going to narrate before we listen to it, and that's Mary Faye Tucker. Tell me about Mary Faye Tucker.
Well, Mary Faye Tucker, and you know, you and I had talked before about song titles, and you know, I agree with you. I think song titles are really important, and this is one of those songs where the song title really kind of embodies the character of the song. And it really helps drive the rest of the song. You know, you have an idea. Here's this character, Mary Faye Tucker. She's a timeshare salesman, and you know, you gotta basically take the story from there. But it is based on a true story, actually. Me and family went down to drove down to Daytona one year. And, you know, we were a little hard-pressed for cash, and so we agreed to do one of these deals where you go listen to the timeshare.
God, we've all been there, man.
We've all been suckered into it, and, you know, so, and what happened was, you always go into these things thinking, we're just going to go in, we're going to, you know, we're going to be up front with them, and we're going to be in and out in a half hour.
Yeah, right.
They'll write us a $50 check, and, you know, we'll go to Universal Studios or whatever. it doesn't quite work out that way. You know, they keep you in there. We've got twins, and the twins were like 2 years old at the time.
Oh, and, God.
But that was kind of part of our strategy. You know, take the kids in there, and we knew these kids are going through the terrible twos, and they're just going to be bouncing off the walls, and they're just going to drive this lady nuts. And they did. But we thought she'd want to get rid of us, but she, for some reason, she didn't, because she wanted to sell us a timeshare. So she was just really rude, and this was one of those vacations where, you know, it was actually kind of rainy, kind of nasty all week, and we were like, this is a bummer. And then finally on the last day, you know, the sun comes out, and it's gorgeous, and this is the day we have to go to the timeshare thing. So,
and that's the name, yeah. And so that's the name,
so anyway,
Mary Faye Tucker, huh?
Right, yeah, and her name was Mary, but, you know, we took some artistic liberties.
Oh, man, what a great story.
Tucker from Baltimore, Maryland, insulting my children and selling me timeshare. Five Royal Crown Resorts in the middle of nowhere. But you can save up your points for a real vacation. For a real vacation. Every other year. Every morning. Now Mary's taking her sweet time to ruin my vacation. Ruin my vacation. Every other year. Every other year.
She said to change her mind and show you what to say. You waste your hard-earned money on real estate when you can buy some.
Okay, the next song is Maryland County. Tell me about Maryland County.
Well, Maryland County is it's a fictional place, but again, it's another one of those names that I think conjures up a certain kind of place, and this is kind of a, you know, there's a lot of play on words in this song, and just kind of had fun with it.
Yeah, it's a neat song.
It's one of our more popular songs.
The Maryland County song.
It's one of our most popular songs. It is our most popular song with podcasters, and most downloaded song too.
Okay, well, except for I love all your songs, Jeff. But you know which one? We're getting closer to it. You know which one is my favorite. So don't even go with this Maryland County stuff with me. Okay.
Retro.
Take This Town. Tell me about Take This Town.
Take This Town. You know, there are a lot of different ways to write songs, and I just try all different. You know, every song is like an experiment. You know, and I took this class one time. It was like a creative writing class, and this guy had this really interesting idea, which was to take the time of day that you're most unproductive or you feel at your worst and try to write during that period of time. And for me, that's like really early in the morning because I'm not really a morning person. So I just thought, you know, there was one morning I woke up, I couldn't sleep. I was very early in the morning, and I thought, all right, I don't really want to do this. I don't feel like writing a song right now, but I'm going to do it and see what happens. And this song literally came out in like 10 or 15 minutes with all the words and music all at the same time.
Wow.
Now, it was just a wild experience for me.
Okay, sidebar on this.
That doesn't happen all that often. When it does, you just say thank you.
Okay, all right, let's do a sidebar right here while we're on Take This Town and before the folks listen to it. You know, when you're sitting down, Jeff, and you're sitting, you intentionally, when you get down to write a song, I guess is what I'm saying, and you intentionally are sitting there with the purpose of creating something that expresses your inner feelings or an incident that you came across or whatever, how long does it take? Now, this was an exception. You said 10 or 15 minutes. But what is the normal amount of time that you as a songwriter, how long it takes before you go, okay, that's it, and then you start writing things down, and then do you become obsessive when you get into this writing mode?
You know, I really do. And, that is the perfect word for it. I become obsessed with this music, and a lot of it, then when you get into recording it, that's a different game, and I get obsessed with that as well. And it can be trying too, and the people that you live with, and that's just something you got to figure out. You know, that's something I had to figure out. This last album, all these songs that we're listening to, I actually thought it would be a neat idea to move my recording studio into the family room, and that was a bad idea.
Yeah, for more reasons than one, right?
But the thing about that, this particular room, it sounds great, and I could really get a good idea of what these songs are going to sound like. And but anyway, like I said, it wasn't the greatest idea.
Yeah, and I've been there, right there with you, when I decided to resurrect the Dave Rabbit persona from 35 years in the grave. So trust me, I know exactly what you're talking about having studios in your home.
I went back to listen to one of the episodes that you had on there, and that is some wild stuff.
You talking about the original show?
How did somebody get that recording? I mean,
it was one of the guys, one of the relay guys. I'm almost 99% sure it was one of the guys that were helping with the pirating of the actual radio signal. It was just too clean. Back in those days when we had nothing but tape, and this is not my interview, you had nothing but tape, you know, reel to reels and stuff. And I'm sure they had to have recorded it because it was just too clean to go through the absolute multiple amount of, you know, of copies that it went through over 36
right.
years. But back to you, this is your show. This isn't the Dave Rabbit show. It is, but it isn't.
But anyway,
okay.
I just thought I thought it was wild. I kind of put myself in that, you know, what it would be like to hear that, you know, that. So I can see how that was such an effective show.
Yeah, it was, and we've really had a lot of fun with it. In denial.
in more ways
than one. I'm in denial, but let's talk about this outstanding song.
It's not just a river, you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about this outstanding song you created. I'm in denial.
Yeah, it's kind of a wacky song, isn't it?
I love it. I think it's a great song.
My family calls it the Chelsea song. Because we used to have a dog named Chelsea, and that's the very first verse of the song is about Chelsea.
Yeah, tell me the story about Chelsea.
Well, this is probably going to sound kind of gross, but that part of the story is true. There was a time where I took the dog to the vet, and every time I took Chelsea to the vet, she would, you know, get very nervous and. You know, you're supposed to sort of let the dog do their business outside, and I thought I did that. And we get in the door, and I literally turned my head back, and there was a little bit of a mess on the floor. And I was like, you know, my dog didn't do that. That's not us. And the doctor was like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah. And he goes, hey, man.
He's in denial.
He says, clean that shit up and then write a song about it.
Yeah, it's funny how these things, you know, that happened years ago. And it's like, okay, this works its way into a song somehow.
And see, this is one of the reasons why this show is going to be so popular, because nobody in their right mind is going to sit there and ask an affluent artist, you know, about their dog crapping in the vet's office being the reason why they wrote a song called I'm in Denial. I mean, if I saw the song title I'm in Denial, you know, I would think about maybe a broker. You know, the artist that we had on the other day, I won't mention him on your show, but, you know, he had, every time he was telling me about a song, he said, well, that was after a relationship broke up. And I mean, after I started doing the post-production edit, I slapped myself in the face. I'm going, God, this was just material that was just too good. I blew it. I mean, it was my, you know, it was kind of my breaking my virginity with talking to artists. But when he got to the fourth song and he said, you know, well, this was after, you know, I had a breakup with a girlfriend, and he's a good looking guy. You know, you see his pictures, and I mean, I'm thinking, you know, well, maybe there's something to do with your songwriting and your music and relationships, and that's back to what you were saying, you know, earlier.
Well, you know, and there are really a lot of breakup songs, and it's definitely something that motivates people to write songs.
Well, if you ever decide to be a country or western singer, Jeff, I'm in denial to be the first one on the list. I know about this, but I want you to tell me your inspiration for I'd Take You Any Place.
You know, and it's kind of interesting because you don't normally say I'd Take You Any Place. So it's another one of those title things that has an interesting hook to it, I think. But yeah, it's just the way that I see that song is at some point in your life, at when you're sort of sunsetting in your twilight, and you look back on your life, you know, I'd like to be able to say, you know, it was tough. There was a lot of good times, a lot of bad times, but I'd do it all over again with you, you know. So that's kind of a dedication to my wife.
And, you know, that's really neat that you say that, because I guarantee you, you know, my wife and I, in the years that we've been married, boy, we've had our ups and downs with four kids and two grandkids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for all the stuff that we've gone through, and I know you've expressed that same thing to me, I don't think I'd take the road any different than I have. I really don't. And the fact that you wrote a song, if I was that creative, I would try to write a song for my wife, but I'm just not that creative. So she has to just kind of deal with the Dave Rabbit personality, which half the time she wants to pick up a 2x4 and just beat the living crap out of me.
Yeah, mine too, you know. But it's kind of interesting because recently I found the original. Sometimes I get an idea and I write it on whatever, you know, napkins or post-it notes or whatever. I found the original post-it note that had the chorus lines, and it was a little bit different. But so I tweaked it later. But it's always interesting to me to see that. Wow, this when that first came out there.
Well, you know, it really is a great song, and you know, like I said, all the songs that we are showcasing on your show tonight, you know, I think really in their own rights, all of them have a very uniqueness about it, Jeff, that I think is just outstanding.
So hard to fathom that we have come this far.
I can't tell you enough how much I appreciate the fact that, you know, here you are, your whole family's, you know, throwing up their cookies everywhere. Hey, Blake. Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen, I've had a house full of virus folks myself, so I know what's going on, you know, and the fact that
it's the worst.
Oh man, I tell you, I'd rather have my nails pulled out with a rusty pliers. But you know, I really want to tell you how much I appreciate you going above and beyond on this thing.
I really appreciate what you're doing.
And before we go into my favorite song, which everybody's on pins and needles about, what is Dave's favorite song? Of course, you know what it is. But before we go into it, I again want to tell everybody about your website, where they can download all kinds of neat, wonderful songs. And I think your CDs are available on there. And it's just got all kinds of neat stuff on there. So please go to Jeff's site at www.100, that's the numeral 100 year, YEAR, picnic. I'm seeing it. Everybody always says, why do you spell things out? I said, listen, there's some people out there with third grade education, so I have to spell things out. So it's www.100 year, YEAR, picnic, PICNIC. .com. That's www.100yearpicnic.com. So go to Jeff's site, and I know he'll appreciate it, and buy as much as you can, because his family has a lot of hospital bills because of the virus. Now,
well, you know, here's the odd thing is I'm actually giving away the CD on there. I mean, we love when people go out to iTunes and buy it. Or go out to eMusic.com and download tracks from there, because we get a little bit of money off of that. But, you know, I guess what we really want is we want people to hear the music. And if you want to check it out first, just download it for free on my site. So after our show here, I'm going to make sure it's really easy for people to find how to do that. So
okay, cool. All right, now before we give hugs and kisses from afar, I want you to tell people about my absolute. Well, first off, I want to say, because I mean, you know, I did like 27 hard rock shows. I mean, that was I was a hard rock guy. I said, you know, I want to do a hard rock show. And as I'm going through the hard rock genre on PodSafe Network, and I came across 100 Year Picnic, which blew me away. I'm going, 100 Year Picnic, what kind of blanking band is that, you know? And you know, you had like several different, you know, tracks on there. And I saw one that said Heaven. Well, on this particular show, there was some band that had a song called Hell or something. And I thought, well, God, this would be a great song. Now, I had not heard it at this stage, you know.
I think I remember the name of that.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sitting there going, well, you know, I've got this guy before him doing Hell. I think I'll just pick this song by the name of Heaven. Well, once I heard this song, as I said before, it's like, oh, getting that song that you hear at a musical or at some place, and it's in your head, and you're going, well, you know, that's kind of a real catchy little tune, you know, and you're kind of humming it on your way home and all this other stuff, and you're watching TV, but at the same time, you know, even though you're watching CSI, you know, this little song in the back of your mind is clicking around while they're doing, you know, this autopsy in front of you, right?
Oh, no.
And so I go to bed that night after doing that show, and I'm telling you, I look at the clock, 1 o'clock. You know, I'm going, oh, Christ, you know, and I'm sitting there trying to get this stupid, this rhythm thing is just driving me to da 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 da. And it's just going on and on, and then that little thing in the background, and it's driving me absolutely crazy. And like at 6:30 the next morning, I have had Zippo sleep. I am cursing.
Oh, no.
I am cursing.
Oh, no.
I am cursing Jeff's name. Well, that's the kind of impact this song had on me. So
I'm sorry, Dave.
That's all right. Tell me about my worldwide number one favorite song, Heaven.
Oh, you know what? This song was so much different than all the other songs. I mean, like you said, each song is a little bit different. One has a little bit of a country twang to it. Another one might have a little bit of a jazz, you know, sound to it. Others are, you know, they're all sort of different. And this one was just way different. And I almost didn't put it on the CD because I was trying to figure out the flow of all the songs and how they were going to work. How they're going to flow with each other. And it was a tough one to figure out, but we ended up putting it close to the end of the CD. And, I thought it was, I had a lot of fun writing the song. It was actually co-written by me and another friend of mine that's also a drummer. And that's why you've got all these crazy drums at the end of the song.
And see, you know, both of you ought to have your asses kicked because, I mean, it's just kind of, it's indescribable. I mean, it really is indescribable. And for those that haven't heard it, when I start running it, you're going to know. And I got news for you. I want anybody to email me that after they hear Jeff's program, when they hear Heaven, if you're having problems sleeping and you're getting this song at 3:30 in the morning clicking in your head and that beat clicking in your head, I want you to email me at DaveRabbit@RadioFirstTermer.com.V as in Victor, N as in Nancy, and tell me, because what I want to do is I want to forward these to Jeff's private email address.
Oh, no.
I'd like to besiege you with like several thousand emails of people going, yeah, that damn song. I mean, I hate that damn song. What's that kind of song is that? You know, have some guy from Canada, you know, sending me all these nasty letters. Well, listen, I can't tell you enough, Jeff, what a really fun interview this was. And I mean, it's a second conceptual show of this kind, but I tell you, it's gotten so popular that we're going to really do some really special things down the way with this. And I guarantee you that this has just been a really fun interview for me. We've had a lot of laughs, a lot of fun, and I guarantee you, this is what this particular show is all about. Not just your show, but this entire thing that we're going to start doing or am doing, in because I think it's really a comfortable scenario to where you're sitting down rather than sitting across from Bono or whoever, or, you know, and going, well, tell me about the song, Mr. Bono. You know, when he goes, well, you know, we're doing this here, you know, and all this bullshit. You know, I mean, this is just such more relaxed, and it's fun to hear about how the songs came about, and I think that's what's going to make it popular, and I guarantee you, Jeff, you guys, your group, and your creativity has really made a good day for the Dave Aru over here. And I can't thank you enough for making the sacrifice of the viral campaign you have going on in your home. Your home.
And I kind of imagined that maybe I would sit down and have a couple of beers and just imagine like you and I were sitting in a room together, but. You know, it ended up being a Coca-Cola.
Yeah, and thank God you didn't have the two beers because, I mean, you and I have really gone off the silly meter here. But that's okay because I want it to be fun. And the main thing is that people take the, you know, what I want them to take away from your show is the seriousness of you as an artist, which you are. And it's been absolutely my pleasure to not only have found you as a unique band at the very beginning, our conversations, our personal conversations on air and off, and hopefully being, you know, considered to be one of the very good friends of 100 Year Picnic.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to say thank you to you as well. I mean, you guys, you and the podcasters out there, are really leading the way to the sort of next stage of music in the world and getting the word out of independent music, and we all very much appreciate what you're doing.
Okay, Jeff, well, stay on the line with me, and we're going to have a personal chat. One last time, folks, go to Jeff's website at www.100yearpicnic.com.
Dave Rabbit and the Rabbit Zone. And I'm going to make it easier for you to find them than it was for me. For more fun audio and video, visit Dave's official podcast home at www.daverabbit.podomatic.com. Until next time, this is Colonel Jack Meehaw, as you were.